That's actually just sort of really. By Marshal Panav by Yikra, Torah says, right, God passes before Moshe, and he calls out the 13 attributes of mercy. Regarding that verse, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ilmale Mikra Kasav Yashalav. Were it not for the fact that this was written in the Torah, that Hashem passed before Moshe and recited the 13 attributes, we never could have said it on our own. If you walked into Shul and said this by yourself, they would have brought you up on charges of heresy. Right? We can't do that because, you know, it's in the Torah. You can't be a heretic for something that's in the Torah itself. Okay, why? What's so radical about this pasuk? So Rabbi Yochanan explained, Melamed shenisate fakadosh baruch hu kashliach tzibur. It teaches us that Hashem wrapped himself up, you know, like in a talis, as if he was leading the davening, like he was a chazan. Behera lo the Moshe seder tzibla. He showed Moshe how to pray. Amar lo, and he said to Moshe, Kol zman shiyisrael chotin, whenever Bnei Yisrael sin. That happens all the time, so we have to say it every year. Yasu lefanai kaseder hazeh. They should do before me this order. Vani mochel lahem, and I will forgive them. Period. Right. The new Gemara has even put a period there. So that's it. Rabbi Yochanan says, Torah told us, Hashem said to Moshe, say these 13 attributes, and whenever they sin, I'll forgive them. So all that does is reinforce our question, right? We came in, all we knew of Yud Gimel Midos was that they seemed like a magic incantation. And if you look at the Gemara, that seems like it's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, right? Say these 13 things, and that's it. I'll forgive them. That can't be, but what's going on? We also might wonder, you know, Rabbi Yochanan sets this up like it's this unbelievable, we could never have said this on our own, if the Torah hadn't said it, we could never say it on our own. Is there something so radical here? You know, Hashem showed Moshe how to daven. Hashem shows Moshe different things. Hashem shows Moshe the half shekel. Hashem shows Moshe the menorah. Okay, so Hashem showed Moshe how to daven when we sin. That sounds like a pretty important thing for us to know, right? It's not clear why it's so. We don't know what it means, eh? But it's also not clear why it's so mind shattering that we never could have said it if God hadn't said it. Okay. If we skip down to the first wide line of the Gemara, you see there's another period, three lines from the bottom. We're just going to read like two more lines of the Gemara. Okay, we'll see if this helps or not. Because Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one who began talking, right? So he's got more to say. Rabbi Yochanan continues. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan," right after the period, "Gedola tshuva shemikaras gazar dino shel adam." How wonderful is repentance? Because it tears up the divine decree. Okay, that's something we know. We talked about Tanatoke, Tshuva, Tfila, Tzaka, Marvina, Tzara, Gzeira. Tshuva can tear up the decree. Wonderful. Shneamar Hashmein Ha'alev Ha'am Hazeh. The heart of the nation is fattened. Veaznav Hafeid, heavy, make their ears heavy. Veinav Hashah, make their eyes not able to see. Henir Ab Einav Uveznav Yishmav Lavo Yavin Veshav Rafei Lo. Right, lest Bnei Yisrael do tshuva, and Hashem will forgive. So there's actually a lot going on here. We'll talk about it just for a second. Rabbi Yochanan says tshuva is wonderful because tshuva tears up the divine decree. Now we could ask, you know, if we have the magic formula from Rabbi Yochanan five lines earlier, just say the 13 attributes and we will be forgiven, so why do we need tshuva, right? Like Rabbi Yochanan himself gave us the secret a few lines ago. So, you know, there's clearly more going on, right? There's more to reciting the 13 attributes than just presto, it happens. The proof is Rabbi Yochanan five lines later is talking about the value and the importance of tshuva. Now, just to take a step out, there's just an interesting point I couldn't help but highlight. This verse that Rabbi Yochanan quotes, it's a really interesting verse, right? It's talking about, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu, and Hashem is telling Yeshaya, prevent the people from doing tshuva, right? Fatten their hearts, cover their ears, cover their eyes, because I don't want them to repent. Now, that's the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu. Sixth chapter of Yeshayahu is the chapter where Yeshayahu becomes a prophet. That's the chapter where we have Kedusha. That's the chapter where Hashem says, I need someone to be a Navi, and Yeshayahu volunteers because he thinks it's, you know, important to be a Navi. He's surprised to find out his first job as a Navi is to tell the people not to repent. Now, the Mefarshim asks, one second. You know, Yeshayahu is the, it becomes a prophet. So why is that chapter 6? Right? Shouldn't Yeshayahu become a prophet in chapter 1? Right? Yechezkel becomes a prophet in chapter 1. Yirmiyahu becomes a prophet in chapter 1. For some reason, Yeshayahu becoming a prophet is pushed off to chapter 6. So I think Abarbanel, a couple of other Mepharshim say, it's really very, very basic reason. The chapter where Yeshayahu becomes a prophet is way too depressing a chapter to be the first parrot, right? You can't begin the book with Yeshayahu being told, tell the people not to do tshuva, right? So that gets pushed off to parak book. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yochanan takes that line. It's amazing. Rabbi Yochanan takes that line, right? Make the people not repent. Cover their hearts, cover their ears. And Rabbi Yochanan says, we can actually extract a positive message from this line, right? Because what's underneath it all? That if they do tshuva, it's going to work for anything, right? So it's like, it's an amazing thing that he's doing, you know, behind the scenes. Like, he's taking the most depressing pasuk in Navi that is responsible for all of Yeshayahu being made totally out of order, and he's saying, actually, you know, if you dig deep enough, you can find an inspiring message. So I think that that's something that's really cool. But to, you know, not distracting from our problems, right? You might be thinking, well, you know, he doesn't have answers, so that's why he's trying to go off on a tangent, right? Going back, what on earth is this thing of Yidgim Amidos, right? It's not a magic formula, that's clear, because Rabbi Yochanan himself talks about doing it. So what's going on? So there are a couple of ways you could go in trying to answer this. You could look at the 13 attributes themselves and try to figure out what they mean, which, after all, it's not particularly clear. And the Rishonim have this massive debate what the 13 attributes even are. Right? I once gave a shiur where I had like a box, a table, and I had like 9 different views that Rav Kasher and Torah Shlomo put together, and that was like only some of the views that he had. Like, okay, that's one direction we could go. But I want to try maybe take it from a different angle. And let's go back in time, and let's look at the context in the Chumash and see what was going on when Hashem taught Moshe those 13 attributes, and we're gonna look at those psukim together with some insights from the Ramban, and try to you know, reconstruct what was happening the original time, and that is going, I think, to be helpful for us to know what they're supposed to do for us now. Now, the 13 attributes were said by Hashem in response to Moshe wanting to know about God, which was at the end of the whole world back and forth in the aftermath of the golden calf, right? You know, top 5 sins in Jewish history, right? Everything goes totally off the rails, and Moshe and Hashem spend like 2.5 prakim, and their long prakim, going back and forth, you know, as to what's going to happen with his people, right? And if you recall how the laning for Kisisa works, right, so we have all these very short aliyah in the beginning, and then we have these like huge ones at the end because we try to like, you know, get through the golden calf as quickly as possible. One time I was asked you know, to lane an aliyah for Kisisa, and I was like, okay, I can do one aliyah, no problem. Right, but the guy didn't tell me, you know, the fine print, which is, you know, you get the ones at the end, and you're going to be up very late Friday night when you try to cram it in. But Ramban points out that if you look at the progression of the debate between Moshe and Hashem, there is a very clear theme and a very clear progression. I tried to show it with rainbow colors, going from a red to blue and ultimately to the purple, right? You see the colors in sources 2 and 3. We're going to go through this much more quickly. So these are just, these are our psukim in the back and forth between Moshe and Hashem, which the Ramban then highlights, right? We begin with the red, which is immediate aftermath of the golden calf. So Hashem sends a plague to the nation, Vayigov Hashem es ha'am. And then Hashem's initial response to Moshe is, he says, okay, here's my opening position. I'm not going to destroy the people, right? That was, you know, the original back and forth. My original concession is they'll survive, but I am going to pull out from them. My presence will not be among them. Alei mizeh atah v'ha'am, right? We're pulling out. Ki lo e'elah v'kerbaka. I will not be with you. Ramban reads the psukim carefully, and he says, Hashem's original position is the following. Hashem is pulling out, right? That's over. God being among the people, dumb don't even think about it, right? You're going to have a malach, but it's going to be the malach of din, right? The divine attribute, the agent of justice is going to be there. And even that, you're only going to have temporarily. You'll come into the land, right? And then that's going to be it. You know, I made promises, so I have to keep them. You know, I'll give you the land, but nothing else. There is no long-term divine presence whatsoever. The presence itself is attenuated, A, right? You're only going to have the agent of rach, of din. B, you're only going to have that for a limited time. Okay? So, then Pasuk Dalet Torah says, the people hear this, Vayishma ames ha-davar ha-rahazeh, leis-ablu, they mourn. The Rav in Alat Tshuva has a whole long analysis of this. He talks about the relationship between mourning and tshuva. Mourning really is an essential ingredient to tshuva. Right? So the people begin to really repent. And then Ramban has an unbelievable insight, which launches everything else for the Yud Gimel Midos. Pasuk Hey, it seems innocuous. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe emor el b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says to Moshe, speak to b'nei Yisrael. This happens all the time, right? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe emor tzavos b'nei Yisrael. How many times do you have in the Torah, right? Hashem says to Moshe, talk to the Jews. But Ramban points out that there's actually something absolutely essential. He says, and you know, if we had more time, we would look this more in depth. The whole back and forth ever since the golden calf happened, which was like 50 psukim ago, not one time did Hashem mention B'nai Israel. All he did was talk about the Am, the nation, just says the nation. First time here, he says B'nai Israel, right? He mentions the name of the people, right? And think about, you know, anytime we've ever had someone be angry at us, right? And the first time there's a thaw is when there begins to be an engagement, right? You're no longer you, right? You're now Noah, right? All of a sudden, there begins to be a connection. So the minute there's tshuva, the minute the people mourn, we begin to have the relationship come back, and that happens through Hashem calling us B'nai Yisrael. Ramban continues, you know, you could look at it, you know, on your own, or you could take a word for it for now, that Moshe and Hashem have a series of backs and forth. Hashem says, you know, okay, you know, next position is, you know, you're still going to have the mala of din, but it'll be permanent. And it's not as a punishment, it's because, you know, you can't handle my continued presence. Moshe says, that's not enough. Okay. Next position, that's the one that's in the green. Panay Elech Tobani Chosulach, Ramban says, that's now transitioning from the mala of din to the mala of rachav. Okay? We have another progression. Moshe says that's not enough. Pasuk Tesvav, the blue. Moshe says, I don't want the malach of din. I don't want the malach of rachamim. Right? I want the Ribbono Shalom. I want a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Le'yom Re'lav, Pasuk Tesvav. Im ein panecha holchim al ta'alein mizeh. If we don't get you, we're not moving on. Right? Moshe knows how to bargain. Right? There's a progression in terms of the relationship between Hashem and the people. Right? I want Hashem's direct presence. And how does Hashem finally conclude in reaction to that? He says, okay, last pasuk Yitzayim, Yom HaShem Moshe, Gamesh HaDavar HaZeh Asher Dibarta Ezeh, Imatas HaChem Enai, Ve'eda Acha Bashem. You win, you'll get this also. I will make myself known with my name. Right? We are going to have Hashem himself among us. We turn to page 2. So just one piece in Ramban to highlight, you know, you have literally, right? You have these two highlights at the back. So how does Ramban describe what Moshe wants between God and B'nai Israel? Right? You see the first highlight in D, which are the various steps, right? So what does he say? I want you to be with us. Panim bipanim. Right? So that's amazing, because what is the relationship of panim bipanim or panim el panim? I thought that was only Moshe and God, right? Moshe is up on the mountain, right? Panim el panim. Moshe is saying, I don't want that for me, right? That has to be the relationship between Hashem and everybody. And that's what ultimately is going to come about. Ramban says, you know, the last couple of steps are, you know, Moshe is going to get direct exposure to God, in a more intense way than he had before. We know that tshuva puts you on a higher level than you were before the sin. So Moshe is going to receive greater revelation than he had the first time at Har Sinai. That's what he's going to get when the second Luchos come and he sees Hashem and Nidu Midos, etc. And then, after Hashem calls himself out in his own name, immediately afterwards we have the purple, right? Letter F, I put this separately because this is separate from Parak Gimel. And Hashem says, now who is going to be in this covenant? Negev Kol Amcha, right? Now the relationship has been fully restored, and even more so between Hashem and the entire nation. The entire people are going to see. God is back. He's with Bnei Israel. He is in the camp. Next thing we're going to do is we're going to build a Mishkan, right, to make that permanent. And that was the whole goal of the 13 attributes of mercy. All that it means is we're trying to bring Hashem down among us, right? And why is that? Because fundamentally, what are the 13 attributes of mercy? It's just an expansion of Hashem's name itself. What is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei? It's the name of mercy, right? So what's Hashem? Hashem, Kael, Rachum, Bechanun, etc., etc. It's just the long version of Hashem's name. All we do when we say the 13 attributes is we are calling out to God, we're saying His name, and we're doing that to bring Him down among us. The whole process began with Hashem calling Bnei Yisrael, right? Him calling out to us. And then it ends with us being able to call out to Hashem. Yeah, there's no tefillah, there's no prayer, there's no asking. We're just saying Hashem's name again and again. Please, God, be down among the people. And once that happens, once we have Hashem with us, right, then we're good to go. Mm-hmm. And this is such a theme in the time of the Yom Teruah, right? The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, so he quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya that we say on fast days, that Dirshu Hashem Behimatso, right? Reach out to God when He is here. That is the period of the 10 days of repentance, right? Because this is the time when we are able to bring Hashem down with us. Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah at the very end of Masechet Yoma, right? He says, Ashreichem Yisrael, lefnei mi atem etaren. Who purifies you? Before whom are you purified? You have a direct encounter with Hashem. And once that's the case, right, then everything is set. So if we just turn back and look at Rabbi Yochanan's original statement in the Gemara one more time, and then with this we'll close. So what did Rabbi Yochanan actually say? He said, right, take a look at the fourth law of the Gemara, the fourth to last word. Amar lo, he said to him, Kol zman shiyisrael chotein, whenever Israel sins, Ya'asu lifanai keseder hazeh, they should do this before me, right? Because the whole name of the game, no pun intended, is calling out God's name and just trying to connect. That's all we're trying to do. And fundamentally, what is that? That's tshuva. Right? That's what tshuva is. We return to Hashem. We're trying to restore a relationship. So we try to do that by improving ourselves. Tshuva, tzedakah. And we try to do that by bringing Hashem down. Right? And that, I think, is the last point. Why this was such an amazing statement that we never could have made. You see the second line of the Gemara, right? The very beginning, there's a little circle slash. Right there, right. So that's the note of Rabbi Akiva Eger. So Rabbi Akiva Eger, who knew everything, you know, in the history of Torah ever. So he just puts a little note aside. He says, okay, you know, with my mental, you know, Google Bar Ilan search, I'll tell you the two other places in all of Shas where we have this line where one of the Amoraim says that if not for something written in the Torah, we never could have had it. Right. One is the Gemara in Megillah, where the Gemara says that, you know, when you read the Megillah, Mishnah says you consider stand. But when you lean from the Torah itself, you know, I've never seen anyone sit at the bima when they lean, right? So Gemara says you have to stand. So quotes a pasuk in Devarim, which Amod Imadi, stand with me. And then I think it's Rabbi Abba. He says right there, oh, you know, if not for the fact Torah says we never could have said this, teaches us that Hashem himself kaviyachol stands when he learns Torah, right? Okay, so I don't really know what that means, right? But I understand why that we never could have said. Because we're bringing Hashem down to the level of man, right? What do you mean Hashem stands for the Torah? Like, Hashem's above everything, right? Hashem, who wrote the Torah? It's God, right? Hashem stands for his Torah. That's place number one in Megillah. Second one, Rabbi Akiva Eger 72, it's a Gemara in Sota, which says if you read the end of the Chumash carefully, so it turns out that, you know, Moshe died in the land of Reuven. Somehow, he's buried in the land of God. So how do you get from Reuven to God? Okay, Torah, you know, if you read the Torah carefully enough, it sounds like Hashem himself actually moved Moshe, carried Moshe from Reuven to God. Torah said that we never could have. Again, I understand, right? The Torah is bringing Hashem down, right? Like he's Basar B'dam, God forbid. Right? Hashem's like, you know, he's a moving company. Hashem's just someone who gets up at the bima to the lane, right? Those are the shocking lines that the Gemara says we never could have said on our own. And now we can understand why this is number three, because what are the Yidnumilas of Rachamim? What's the magic trick? All it is we have the ability to bring Hashem down with us. That's all that we're trying to do. And that should be heretical, because we're down here and God's up there, right? But this whole period of time tells us that's not what we're supposed to do, right? We try to become malachim, we try to become angels, and that climaxes on Yom Kippur. And simultaneously, we try to bring Hashem down to us, and that also climaxes on Yom Kippur, right? At the end of the Elah, when we just say Hashem's name over and over and over again before the gates of heaven close. So, you know, as we embark on a unique and, you know, unprecedented times, Tshuva season, Yamim Neraim season, so God willing, you know, the year ahead should be a year of bracha and joy and fulfillment for us and for all of us.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I want to wave goodbye to all the guys online.